Welcome to the Obesity Medicine Podcast with your host, Dr. Matea Rentilla, board certified in internal medicine and obesity medicine. Here, we talk about a path to metabolic health, and we have real conversations about chronic weight management and living a full life. Just a reminder, I am a physician, but I'm not your physician. So everything that's on this podcast is for informational purposes, but please go talk to your doctor about what's right for you. There is no medical advice being given on this podcast.
Welcome, welcome, everybody. I'm so excited to have you back on the podcast. Today, we have a really amazing guest. We have Jen Watts, and she is a life and nutrition coach, and she works with women that have ADHD. And I came across her Instagram profile, came across it a while back, and I just loved what you were sharing. And so I'm so glad that you agreed to come on today. Something that I shared with you in the DMs before we, like, kind of when we started to get to talking, I said, hey, you know, half my patients have ADD or ADHD, mm-hmm. and there are some unique challenges that present themselves. And with you being in this kind of life and nutrition coaching space, I'm sure that you encounter that. So can we just start out with you introducing yourself, how you help people? Just give us a little bit more background about you.
Yes. Well, I am so happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me. So yeah, I'm Jen. I work with women with ADHD, mainly who are pursuing weight loss. And I kind of stumbled into this based on my own experiences. I myself have ADHD. I was late diagnosed, as a lot of women are. It wasn't until my early 40s that I was, well, I'm still technically in my early 40s, but it was only within the last couple of years that I was diagnosed. And I really saw that connection for myself, that I had struggled with my weight since I was about 13 or 14. Yeah. And it seemed like everybody else could figure it out or could find ways to make it work. And I just, it wasn't connecting for me. And I always thought I must be the problem. Like, there's something wrong with me. But once I was diagnosed with ADHD and recognized the ways that that, you know, perpetuates itself in my life, I was like, there is such a connection here. And it seemed like nobody was talking about it. Yeah. So I'm actually a CPA, and totally made a big pivot. And
was like, all right, it's always the best though, right? When it comes out of your own struggle, where you're like, wait, but this actually makes sense for me, right?
100%. Yeah.
So can you tell me though, if you're willing to share kind of what did you, once you got the diagnosis, first of all, we had a little conversation about this as well, that women, a lot of things in medicine were not studied. And so, and we also don't, quote unquote, present normally often.
Yes.
We're not the typical, you know, little boy running around the playground, can't sit still in class. So we can look different. Right. And so finally it got caught. And what were you able to look back on then? And maybe we can, like you said, like we can focus on kind of the weight loss space, kind of nutrition, things like that. What did you look suddenly see that before you had maybe judged yourself for, or you really hadn't noticed?
Yeah. Well, first of all, my diagnosis, well, like a lot of women, came about because one of my kids was diagnosed. And even then, it didn't come, they didn't say, like, maybe we should test you or see if you have it or whatever. It wasn't until I kind of did the digging on my own to realize, wait a minute, like, a lot of these things are happening for me, but they're very different from my son.
Yeah.
So in retrospect, some of the biggest things were, well, so I was diagnosed with anxiety and depression when I was about 13 or 14, which is usually, like, that's very common for women with ADHD, is that it kind of gets glossed over and is seen as being that, because a lot of the ways that it presents for us is very internal. For boys and men, or boys in particular, is very, like, outward. It's more the hyperactivity type of behavior. And then it's almost like, it seems like they kind of refer to it as, it almost looking like it goes into remission as they become adults, because they kind of calm down. But for women, so much of it is internal. And so it's almost like an internal hyperactivity, right?
Yeah.
So it was like, I just thought everybody was like me. Like, I constantly had like a million thoughts going on. My working memory was terrible. I had such a poor self-concept. That's another really big one, is just, you don't see yourself the way you really are. And planning was a big issue. Like, because we're time blind. And so I would, you know, have all the great intentions to do something, but to actually physically do it, remember that I was going to do this thing and execute it, was such a struggle. And then that really perpetuated the sort of like self-defeating, like self-judging behavior, because you think like, what, why can't I just do this? Like, what's wrong with me? But neurologically, it makes sense, because our brains just operate that way. So it was all these little things that I'm like, these are all the things that to me, go into successful weight loss or weight management, and I just don't operate that way. So of course it makes sense that it was a struggle for me and I need to approach it differently.
Yeah. Oh, I love that you brought that up and just kind of how you came to the awareness and how you saw all of it differently, right? It's like, wait, this is just the way my brain works. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, it's like, I didn't choose this. I didn't pick this, right? My brain is this way. And so what kinds of things did you find then once you had that awareness that were helpful for you, like things that you weren't doing before that you were then able to start doing?
Yeah. Well, I've tried every diet known to mankind. And I know this is the experience for a lot of people, but like something would work because you could white knuckle your way through it for a few weeks even. Yeah. But prior to my diagnosis, I had found Corinne Crabtree through the life coach school and all that stuff. So I kind of had this understanding that like your thoughts and your emotions actually relate to all of this stuff. So that was sort of in the back of my mind before all of that. But what I found ended up working for me was just the biggest thing was dropping the judging of myself, because once I understood that it makes sense that it works this way, I was able to release that kind of pressure and frustration with myself of trying to make these things work that just weren't working for me. So yeah, it was a lot of things like getting really granular on things like planning, not trying to say like, okay, well, the goal is to lose 80 pounds or whatever. And you know, this is my big grand master plan. It has to be broken down into the tiniest of pieces for it to be effective for somebody like me. And I need to have it right in front of me. So it could be as simple as, this is what I'm going to eat for breakfast these weeks. And I'll put a colored sticky note in the kitchen so I see it. So I remember, because it sounds silly, but we will like legit forget what we
planned. No, I like that you brought that it has to be like out there in front of you. Yes. I know I'm definitely like a visual planner person, and to stick it away in a computer is something where I have to click. It's like never going to happen. Never going to see it.
Yeah. Exactly.
So I love that, like not only planning, but like really making it, bringing it all the way home. So I love that you gave that example. Like, is it on a sticky note? Is it on the fridge? I mean, I sometimes will leave out like, you know, like if it's a tortilla or a pita or whatever we're using, I will leave it out visually.
Yes.
About it. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. 100%. Yeah. It's all those little things. And then even things like, I'm trying to think of good examples, but like the planning is a big part, but you have to be really intentional about understanding how your life works and being able to take a few steps back. I know that this is what I want to eat. And so like, how can I work that in to make sure I actually get that from the grocery store? Really simplistic. But that's another part of it is making sure that it's things that you actually like and enjoy, because we also, just the way we work, we're very demand avoidant. And I mean, not everybody, I shouldn't say that, we're not all like that, but more often than not with ADHD, we're very demand avoidant. We can't like, you can't just give us a big list of rules to follow and we'll just do it. Not only because we're probably not neurologically capable, but because we just really don't like being told what to do. And so just implementing your own like desires and strengths and that kind of stuff into whatever it is that you're going to do makes a huge difference. The autonomy is a big part of it. And so those are the kind of things, was making sure that I understood that what I was eating was going to be healthy for me or like really help me get towards my goals, but also that it was actually things that I liked. That's the only way it's going to work.
You have said so many things. I don't even know if you know how many gems you're dropping, or maybe it's just really resonating with me, but you've said so many things here. Like, I wanted to summarize this for a second. Not only are you going to be planning, it has to be like super granular, like broken down, right? Like, I always think it's not just, oh, I'm going to eat this food. It's, when are you going to go shopping? Is it on the list? Yeah. Are you going to get a meal delivery, like a food delivered to the house? When are you going to order it? Like, it gets really deep, right? Mm-hmm. But you said this, leaning into your own desires, your own strengths, your autonomy. I mean, basically, it's like, we really need to be counter to diet culture the way you're describing it. The traditional way would be like, follow this junk, right? Like these 20 steps that like, you don't like what you're eating. You hate the taste of it. So like your brain is like constantly not getting enough dopamine and you hate the way in which it is. And then you can't even follow the list. And so none of these things work. I mean, it sounds amazing. The work, right? How do people even start to learn? Like, this is what I like. These are my strengths. Like, I don't think people people even know what that means, you know?
No, you're so right. Because people, we have for so long, because that's another thing that people with ADHD experience is a lot of masking, because we've tried so hard to fit in and be just like everybody else because we think that's the right way to be, right? And we don't even recognize it quite often that that's what we've done. And so it takes a lot of intention to be able to kind of peel the layers off and think like, what do I actually even really like? And to be okay with that, that it's okay if things are different and you're not following some strict set of protocols. So the number one thing I always tell people to do is observe themselves, like non-judgmentally, just get curious. We're not trying to see if you're following rules or anything like that, but just for a few days to just say like, oh, that's so interesting. I didn't eat in the morning. I wonder why that is. Was it because I wasn't hungry? Was it because I didn't plan properly? Was it because I was too busy? Do I just not like breakfast? Or why did I, you know, choose this for lunch? Or why did I stay up too late? Or whatever the case may be. But just observing yourself and telling yourself ahead of time, I'm not in trouble. I'm not doing anything wrong. I just want to learn how I operate. And then maybe once we know that, because if we don't know it, we can't understand it. And so just having that information there and then learning from it, and then we can tweak it to what makes sense for us.
What's so powerful you just said, because I'm thinking about every single patient that I work with that struggles with this, I'll ask them that. So there's lots of, they are so distracted by other things that are happening during the day. They'll have huge periods of not eating. And then we encounter the problem that they're overly hungry come 5 p.m.
Yep.
But it didn't even occur to them to eat earlier. So then we have to realize, wait, they're never checking in with their body, or there's no built-in break, or there's no alarm to remind. I mean, there's just like, there's tools we can use, but it's what you said. It's getting curious. Is this working the way in which it's happening? Why is it happening that way? I love that you brought that up. And also not judging yourself. It's ultimately not a problem, however it's happening, but are you getting the results you want? And then if you're not, like you said, tweaking your manual, like how you're actually naturally operating. I totally love that.
I was just going to say another part of that too, is that because that is so easily happens to us, that we get hyper-focused in what we're doing. We're distracted and we don't pay attention to our bodily cues, but we also naturally don't, our introceptive awareness is just a little bit different. Like we don't pick up on our hunger and satiety, our thirst, those types of things, maybe as easily as a neurotypical person would. So we have to be really intentional about that, but you have to be mindful of it in order to be intentional about it. So it's like this catch 22 thing. So if we are aware that that's how things are for us, then we can, you know, maybe take time to say, oh, I'm going to put an alarm in my phone. As silly as it might sound to some people, put an alarm in my phone to say, you know, check in with yourself. How am I feeling right in this very second? Am I hungry? Am I thirsty? Do I need to go to the washroom? All of those types of things. Right. You have to make a point of paying attention to it.
Yeah. No, I love that you brought that up. That's actually one of the top things that I work with my patients on. If there's huge chunks of time that they're not eating and then it's creating problems for them, right? Maybe by the time they notice that they're actually like overly nauseous, they're feeling overly sick,
yes. And,
you know, depending on what they're doing or things like that, or they can't recover with hydration then, right? Like you can't necessarily at 6 p.m. at night, if you're going to go to bed at 9, like maybe you're not getting in all that water then. So one of the things I'm literally like, hey, can we just, when's your lunch break at work, right? Like I kind of think about what their day looks like. Can we set a little reminder, check in, am I hungry? Maybe you brought some food. Maybe you see at times you experiment, like, does it actually feel better for me to get some protein in? But exactly, like it's a very practical tool that I think works well. And I think people underestimate those little alarms and the little reminders, what a big impact they can have.
Absolutely. Because before you know it, especially if you're overweight, and I mean, you're the doctor, so you would understand this better. But I think if you're experiencing different things going on with your blood sugar, your insulin, all of that type of stuff, like it can impact you pretty quickly, I would guess, when you get to that state of hunger. And then, of course, when you're in that state of hunger, you're not going to go prepare yourself a balanced meal. You're just going to eat what's there. But yes, it's so true. Like those little signals, they're really trying to tell us a lot. And when we've worked so hard, especially if we've been in the diet culture world for so long and we've learned to like ignore ourselves even more, it's hard to just naturally pick up on it. So yeah. it's so important.
What do you think are the top things, like when you work with new clients that come to you, because I'm thinking, like, here's what I'm imagining. We have women, men, people listening in, this is not just women, but they're listening and What are things that maybe would tell them, hey, you maybe have a problem with this, and they don't realize, like, what are the things that your clients come with and that say that they struggle with? Like, I'm wondering, they might not even know that this is a challenge for them.
Yeah, well, it is kind of interesting because a lot of it will be similar to everybody else who's struggled with losing weight or whatever the case may be. But so much of it does come down to, there's a lot of self-judgment there. And there's this sense of like, I don't know why I just can't do this. Like a lot of, it's hard to explain, a lot of history of like trying things for a little bit and then just like ghosting the program or like leaving, dropping everything and leaving. But that habit that you talked about just like going for long periods of time without eating is a really big one. That cycle is so common of just waking up, drinking coffee, wait to eat breakfast, and then kind of forget about lunch. And then all of a sudden, and then you're eating all night. That's really common, but that's not specific to ADHD. And really having a hard time like planning things out, can't like even things that they want to do and they intend to do, they just can't seem to find a way to follow through with it. Yeah. And then also another thing is with the impulsivity that we experience, people might notice that they do have that, but food for us is so important because we have a lot of sensitivities around it. We might be like, texture is really important because we have sensory things going on, but also like it can be a way for people to seek stimulation because ADHD people often are looking for ways to stimulate themselves. If they're bored, they'll go eat. If they're excited, they'll go eat. And we don't even realize we're doing it a lot of the time. So there's so many little things that I just see over and over and over again with people. Yeah. And that's how it might show up for them.
You're bringing up things. It's so funny now that when you're mentioning them, I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, I see this. So my son definitely is hyperactive, and the food is such a texture thing, what you're talking about. And it's incredible that, I mean, it started when he was a few years old. I mean, this was not, you know, it's interesting. It's not something like, oh, it's acquired or you're choosing to do it. It's again, it's very interesting. And I remember when patients come in telling me how it's almost like food is used as a tool for them to keep working and to stay focused. You know, like maybe like a popcorn there and like just a little bit. And so I really love that you're honing in on this, not judging, because I want other people that are listening to think, if you have some type of what you think is a habit or something going on where you're just thinking, gosh, like I just need to not put it on the table, but you might not realize how significant a role that plays, right? Like, and that's why it's so hard to kind of break that pattern, right? So when clients, when they bring these things up, how do you even figure out what to help them to work on first? Because I feel like people sometimes know some of the things, but they don't know like one or two simple things that they can do to kind of get started.
Yeah. And that's always a struggle in the first few weeks of working together, because just like everybody else, people just want to get results right away, or they're like, just tell me what to do, even though they don't really want to be told what to do. And so it is really such a matter of uncovering how this person operates on a day-to-day basis. What is their life like? Because the most important thing is making sure that whatever you're going to do fits into your life. You can have all the plans in the world, but if like, you know, like you're a busy mom, or you have a certain type of job, or you're out of the house, or you're traveling, or whatever the case may be, it is so important that it is adapted to how you live your life. So yeah, I really do assess it on a client by client basis. But usually, like, I honestly start with a nutrition component of just like, let's focus on breakfast. Most often is where we end up starting. And it's making sure that people are getting protein with their breakfast is such a big thing. We know all this stuff. Everybody is like, well, I already know that. I already know enough about nutrition. And
we need to say it again, though, because we need the simplest thing said again and again. Actually, no one needs this to be more complicated. I'm like, when you're talking, I'm like, yes, I need to redo that.
Yeah. And it's so easy. And people, you might experience this too, where people are like, well, that's it. That's all you want me to do. I'm like, yeah, just notice what you're doing for breakfast. And then maybe try to put some protein in or some fiber or something like that. Or even hydration is another good place to start, right? Because that's another thing. Just like, we forget to eat, we forget to drink water. And then you're trying to like load it up at the end of the night, and then you're up all night. So yeah, those are some of the two key areas where I usually start with people, is breakfast and water.
I really like, it's so interesting. Every time you're talking, I'm just really seeing how there's like concrete examples. And I feel like if I'm listening, I'm like, I can go do that. So I like how you brought up, it's not like a massive nutrition audit where it's like the whole day we're having like every single thing you've ever done all day, we're gonna chip away at it. No, it's like, hey, let's do breakfast. Let's make sure it's really loaded with some good proteins, you know, things like that. I find with water, like people get it under control and then it goes away.
Yeah. Me too.
You know, this still matters, right? Me too. I mean, I'm sitting here. I mean, I still... There's a lot of water if you guys are listening. But yeah, I just love that. Now you brought up here this concept of really making sure that it fits in your life, right? And I think this is something that is interesting because I always tell people like the reason we don't have a one size fits all approach, it's because like I have some patients that have a lot of food aversions. Like they just, there's certain foods that they won't eat because of taste, texture, history with it, whatever it might be. Like you were talking about, like, you know, I'm a professional, busy working mom. Like, I'm sorry, everything's not getting made from scratch, right? Like some of it's going to be a steamer bag. Some of it's going to be already chopped. So, you know, whatever the case might be. And it's like, but no matter what is happening, everybody can be successful and it's just going to look different. And I think it's particularly challenging. I don't know about your people, but a lot of my people are doing the like looking around on social media. And so they're thinking that this, like what I ate in a day from someone else or how they exercise or what they do. And I'm like, we didn't have a 24-hour camera on them and we don't have a genetics report and we don't know a family history report, right?
Yeah.
That about this person. So we can't do that. But it's so human nature to compare ourselves to the people around us. So what do you say when clients, like they're working through this stuff and I'm sure like inevitably they're like, well, I'm doing it, but it's like not fast enough, right? Like, do you get a lot of that? Like the weight loss isn't fast enough. Like, how do you talk to them about that?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I thought of the exact same thing when you said that about buying pre-packed stuff or whatever. It is such a struggle to let people know that that is A-okay because that's the thing we kind of observe and don't even really realize that we think is like, that's the only way to eat healthy is to cook everything from scratch. And it's not true. I'm like, you could just go buy a rotisserie chicken and a bag of salad. That is good. Like,
it's like you've done your work.
Yeah. So like that's a struggle is letting people know, like there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. So yeah, it is tough because I think like once people start to realize, like after the first couple of weeks where they're actually noticing the connection between their day-to-day life, what they're thinking, and then how they're behaving and how that's driving what they're doing.
Yeah.
They sometimes are so caught up in these, like, I had no idea I was doing this, that they almost can like put it to the side for a minute and not be so like, okay, get me like weight loss, like the scale's not moving. Oftentimes people are so like kind of shocked by all of this that they're like okay with not seeing like immediate results. But at the same time, it does kind of tend to come because so many of the behaviors that we're kind of locked into that are driving that inability, I guess you could say, to lose weight. Once you kind of start to pick away at them, it does start to change. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's kind of hard to answer, but at the same time, like I get that. And then people can also like around the 3 to 6 week mark. Again, I don't know if this is the same with your clients, but that's when people can, it's a lot. This mental work that's involved in this is a lot.
I call it a mental load. When I think about some other kind of chronic medical illnesses, like I think about with weight management, potentially if we think about the medical term obesity, it's like, it's a chronic load to have to like constantly worry about, you know, what you're eating, how you're moving, how you're managing this, right? And there are ways that we can make it easier, but it's like, there is this element of like, for life, we have to manage this. It's not like just today or tomorrow. It's like, no, like what we do has to work for decades, most of us, hopefully, right? Like we're around a good amount of time.
Yeah. And what you said is so true. Like the mental load, like I've talked to so many people about this where you kind of explain it like, you know, everybody has a certain amount of capacity every day, but with somebody with ADHD, as well as other, you know, neurodiverse, not disorders, but you know, there is so much energy, mental energy that goes into things that somebody else might think is just like, you don't even think about that. You just do it. But like our brains are just running and doing different things. So you are mentally exhausted by like, you know, 10 a.m. where somebody else is just like, just living their life. And I often remind clients of this because you have to account for that. Like, don't beat yourself up over the fact that like some of these things are hard for you and you have to respect that. And that's why planning and making things as simple as possible for you, eliminating at least the decision fatigue where you can make such a huge difference. Yeah. So, yeah.
It's, I like that you brought it full circle with the planning. I think people think, oh, it's more work. That's more effort. It's like, not really. If you in one time period decided, you know, these are the things I might eat for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. And then when it's those meals, you get to decide between them. Or if you want to fully plan the 24 hours in advance, I mean, there's different ways of planning, right? Like,
yeah, that's another thing. Everybody's different.
People think planning is this, like, everything has to be 100% written out. It could just be like a veggie, a meat, you know, you can do whatever you want, but that the decision is made. It's a gift. You can free up space for other things. So I love that you really brought that up. What do you think if you had someone in front of you that, let's say you've been working with them for a while, what do you, or just in general, what do you think would be like your top two tips that if someone did these things, you find that they're more successful compared to other people that you might work with?
Well, the one that I see the most success with, but as well as the most resistance to, is journaling.
Yeah.
Because people are like, what does that have to do with anything? But honestly, even if it's 1 minute, or just like give yourself 1 minute in the evening for self-reflection, because noticing what worked and what didn't is the absolute key to being able to make changes and adapt and do things more appropriate to yourself the next day. Right. So because if we don't pay attention to it, and then the other component of that is when we kind of go through the day or assess or get out what's in our mind, is also an opportunity for us to see what went right. Because we so naturally just think of all the things that went wrong. And that's the only thing that sticks out in our brain. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. This person was mean to me, or whatever the case may be. But if you made one good choice that day, it's so important to recognize it and celebrate that for yourself. Because even if it's like, I drove by the bakery where I normally stop to get cookies, and I just thought, you know what, I'm actually not hungry right now, and I drove by. If you don't like intentionally think about that and say like, that was huge, that was a big choice of me, like actually listening to myself, you know, like those kind of things make such a big difference. And so it might not seem like that's really what's going to help somebody, but for real, like starting to really recognize what you're thinking, what's working, and what things that you're doing well is absolutely the thing that I see the most success with people when they do, as well as protein with breakfast. Yeah. I always harp on that, but it's so important, especially for ADHD brains, like for our neurotransmitters and all that kind of stuff. Like, the protein is such a big building block. And so I always harp on it.
I love how you brought that up. Listen, I'm always, whenever protein is brought up, I'm like, yes to that. Right. And yes to the journaling as well. And, you know, I think what's interesting is when we think about journaling, I think we think of like this like drawn out pen and paper, and it can literally be a few words. It could maybe be spoken. Like, what I've come to realize over time is, if I'm really, I talk to a lot of my friends on Marco Polo, it's a video messaging app. And, you know, we just, whenever we have time, we'll talk. So I tend to, in the morning when I'm doing my walk, I'm talking to them, and I'm realizing that's almost my version of journaling. And the reason I say that is when I'm talking, I get insight and I'm like, oh, this didn't occur to me. It's almost like I need the processing time though. I need the time to slow down, to think about it, to talk about it, to reflect on it. And I think we're in such a fast paced world that we need to learn from these things. Otherwise we can't do anything different in the future. Right. And I think that's really hard for people to hear.
100%. And just for the record, I also do, I have Marco Polo as an option with my clients for how they communicate with me between sessions. And that is exactly what happens. It's almost like they do this verbal processing and visual, because they can see themselves. And like, so much comes out in that. And that is absolutely like journaling. It's just like journaling. And
totally.
I really had to get over that myself, like thinking that it had to be this beautiful journal with like amazing writing. No, mine looks like bullet points. I just like write things. Somebody else would not know what I'm doing, but it works for me and it makes sense. So
totally. Yeah. I love it. It's you get to make it whatever you want. I would do mantra sometimes, like I'm proud of myself for, and do like 10 sentences that start with that. It sounds so cheesy if you're listening, but like just any way that you can hack into today was frustrating because, like, whatever you need to do to get something on paper or get something out of you, because we tend to, most of us, if we have challenges emotionally with food, we'll suppress a lot of it. Right. So it's like,
absolutely.
How can we in any way break that ice a little bit.
Totally.
And the protein, it's so fascinating. I mean, there's so many physiologic reasons for that, but also I can just imagine that getting ownership of that area, then it just makes you feel like you want to go tackle the other stuff once you kind of have one thing kind of locked away.
So much. And because it has such a big repercussion throughout the day, right? Because that can kind of fend off some of the other tendencies to overeat later in the day, which I'm sure that you see too. That really does give such a boost of confidence because you're seeing the effects of that pretty quickly in your day-to-day life. So it's really, really great for people.
I know for me, I definitely tend to front load my protein because I find I just can't make it happen all in the evening. You know, so I used to think very balanced, which balanced is okay if you can do it. But what I noticed is it just wasn't happening, that 30 grams at night or whatever I needed to make happen. And so then I was like, okay, instead of making that a problem, like this is how my brain works. I was like, okay, instead of constantly hammering in on dinner being a problem, can we work on the rest of the day?
Which is so great.
Right. Yeah. Like however we need to make it happen.
Yeah. So, and I was just going to say that's such a good example too, of how it's like, it's different for everybody and it's okay. You don't have to have this many grams of protein at every meal. And like, if you're somebody who eats a whole bunch of protein in the morning and then like hardly in the evening, there's nothing wrong with that.
Right. Definitely. Well, listen, I have learned so much from you today. I'm wondering, do you think there's anything that we didn't talk about today where you're like, you know, people really need to know this about anything in general or your work, anything like that?
Well, my main message that I always want people to know, I'm so passionate about this, is just that there is nothing wrong with you. Yeah. And if you just understand it's a neurological difference that you have, and you start to learn to understand how that affects you, then that's the key to making the changes that are going to get you to move forward. It's not like, I don't want to say death sentence, but it's just not like a life sentence of like, well, I guess I can't do these things because that's how I operate. Absolutely not. It's just a matter of learning how you operate differently and how do I adapt things to my life and do things in the way that works for me. And there's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to do it just like everybody else. You should and could do it the way that works right for your life. And you're just going to be so much more satisfied. You're going to feel like yourself. You're going to be calmer. You're going to be more successful that way. And I really want everybody to know that they can absolutely do that. They don't have to follow some like arbitrary rules, and there's nothing wrong with them.
Oh, I love that. I love that so much. That's going to resonate with so many people that are going to hear that message. So tell everybody, how can we find you? Where are you located? Kind of tell us a little bit about kind of how you work with people. Give us a little bit, because I know people are going to be interested.
Yeah. So I'm mainly on Instagram. I'm at jenniferwatts.ca. I have a podcast as well. It's called Losing Weight with ADHD. And on my website too, like if people want to find me, it's jenniferwattscoaching.com. But that's mainly where I am, is Instagram. And I love to chat with people. So people are so free and welcome to DM me if they have questions or anything like that. That's where I hang out.
Well, thank you so much. This has been so great. And we'll make sure to link underneath the links to everything you talked about, specifically your podcast and everything, because I thought it was amazing when I'm listening. So I'm definitely a subscriber.
Oh,
so thank you so much.
Thanks. And
thank you so much. We'll talk soon.